The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
I'm good, and you? After I swam home from the outer areas of Tel Aviv today with so much rain.
So much what rain?
So much falling.
Oh, falling rain.
Bleeding rain.
All right.
Bleeding rain.
Right, that bleeding rain. Okay, Rolene, tempers are flaring a little bit here. Sasha Starr had a news report earlier. Sasha, what was that news report?
That an Israeli female journalist who works for the Globes is...
She's kvetching.
Well, she's considering suing the Kotel rabbi because male and female journalists were separated, and they had poor visibility and she couldn't perform her job properly.
All right, so she should stay home. So, Rolene, the concern here, and some of our listeners getting very actively involved, is obviously she's very upset because she couldn't get into the men's section of the Kotel to take photos. My view is, and certainly Gimpel of Fools as well, is saying that, hold on a minute, there is a men's section, so unfortunately she couldn't get there. It's okay. It's not the end of the world, but we do have to be able to respect holy sites as we would respect holy sites of all other religions. We'd expect respect churches and the customs of the church. We would expect respect. I'm sorry, I keep saying that. Mosques. So why then is this such an issue?
Well, I think, and I'm seeing it also not just in the Globe, but in the Washington Post and across social media.
Yes, I saw
here
it in Time
as
magazine
well.
As well. I did see that. I referred to that earlier as well.
That many female journalists are kind of expressing that, you know, this was a news event. There's a journalist from Finland who's complaining that she was overzealously put through a security check. She apparently was asked to remove her brassiere. She refused to. The journalist, who apparently is of Palestinian descent, was prevented from covering Pence's news conference with Netanyahu. So a lot of female journalists are saying they are feeling like I wouldn't say perturbed, but a little bit angry that they've been relegated to covering Pence's stop at the Kotel from the other side of a fence. And I think it begs the question, you know, we understand why there is a separation between men and women. But I think for journalists, especially female journalists, and especially with the climate that we are in at the moment, with the rise of a lot of push for gender equality, some of it is a little bit too hysterical. They see this as demeaning. They see this as not being gender equality. And I know that Pence's spokeswoman, Alyssa Farah, said that every effort was made to accommodate both female and male journalists while also observing the rules in place. So I think also from the other journalist's perspective, who was actually asked to remove her bra, I mean, it happened to me in a security check in a Jewish installation once. My clothes kept setting off the magnetometer, and short of actually going completely nude, you know, that just was the situation. I think perhaps, you know, it's wrong on both sides. If the security were a little overzealous, they could have found a way to accommodate her better. And I think that perhaps also given, and I hate to say it, but we're seeing so much of it, given her descent, that maybe it was a little bit politicking on her side.
Yeah, you see, so the question is, would the same journalists have had the same reaction if they were asked to cover up or respect a law within or a custom within an Islamic environment? I believe that they would be much more understanding of somebody else's religion than of ours. That is my view, and I can't help but feel that is the case.
And I also have to throw another spanner in the work. Mm-hmm. When Melania Trump and Ivanka Trump and more recently Nikki Haley prayed at the women's section, who got the best seats?
Well, exactly right. So you weren't on the line before, but that's exactly what we were saying, is that that women photographers had the opportunity when Nikki Haley was there. That's just kind of how it works. Unsigned saying, and I kind of like this, together we weren't divided before. We've had we have a world of enemies out there, and we certainly don't need to create more amongst ourselves. Our faith has kept us together for centuries. We need to preserve our Jewish tenets and not destroy them.
Absolutely.
Couldn't have said it better. M, the Gimple the Fool responding to you saying rather cynical than a tipesh, than a somebody who's stupid. Dov saying not understanding, more fearful. I'm not sure what you mean, Dov, if you could expand on that a little bit. And Ari saying, can a woman become a pope? Are there any female sheikhs, etc.? So I guess those are the questions. So really, we got off to a very, very busy start on the Israel report.
Well, I only had to bring half of my Kevlar.
Yes. Well, because in fact, on women's issues, we wanted to talk about the women's marches.
Well, yes, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm looking at the coverage that's happening around these women's marches. And I think I alluded to it on Monday when I said that many of the women's organizations that support Palestinian rights were notably absent. They were boycotting the women's march in Los Angeles because Scarlett Johansson, who is the face of SodaStream and a supporter of Israel, gave an address. And I'm just dismayed, and maybe it's me, but and also because I've just come off the back of a conference with some really esteemed women feminists from around the world, from a women's Zionist organization. And, you know, we all have dissenting political opinions, but we've managed to argue respectfully. And I'm very, very concerned that in the effort to push for gender equality, gender parity, that these movements are not starting to treat men as the enemy. Yes, by all means, if you're a misogynist, a Absolutely. Rapist, a harasser, and you say hideous things and you treat women badly, mm-hmm. by all means, you should be named and shamed. But I'm very, very worried that it's becoming a hotbed of anger, that if you have dissenting political views, you are not welcome in the, you know, in the sisterhood of women. I'm concerned that men are becoming the enemy. I'm very concerned what we saw last year is that women who identify as Zionists are excluded from participating in some of these marches. You know, I'm curious to know what the listeners think.
Why do
it's
you
really
think
bothered
it's
me off the back of what we're seeing, the treatment of Gal Gadot and also women who have had a profile in the media, one with a L'Oreal spokesperson, another with the blogger for Muslim Girl, their comments, their stance. I'm concerned.
Why do you think this is? Do you think this is because on the left side of center there is this inherent anti-Israel or pro-Palestinian bias, or is it something completely independent of that?
I think there is bias because I think that if they were truly concerned about their Palestinian sisters, and let's take a look at what's happening in Gaza at the moment, they would give a voice to them. They would speak out against honor killing, against abuse, against the restriction of movement, against the fact that women in the Middle East, in certain parts of the Middle East, are prohibited from owning property or participating in certain professions or are prevented from enjoying suffragette. You know, they would use their voices to speak out for them. But this is where we're seeing intersectionality at its absolute worst, Howard, that they're using the push for women's rights to make it political and make it about Israel and actually Jew bashing, because Scarlett Johansson, who openly identifies as Jewish, yeah, she's a supporter of Israel. You know, she's not running around singing her tikvah and carrying
but
her flag.
But
like
even if she
some
were,
of us.
Even if she
and
were.
Even if she was. Mm. And also the treatment of Gal Gadot. I mean, I don't know if it's just jealousy because she looks more fabulous in a Wonder Woman outfit than they do, or because of her success, but she certainly within the last couple of weeks seems to be an example that these nasty people are pulling out and smacking over their head, whether it's something that she's wearing or it's her identifying as proudly Jewish and standing by her country as we are bombarded with rockets, or that she's never ever apologized for being a proud serving member of the IDF. You know, I don't know if gym instructors in the IDF, you know, are responsible for the genocide of people, but you know, it's anybody's guess.
Well, it's again interesting that an article I wrote in Times of Israel about that about the fact that South African Jews could contribute to the discourse here in South Africa in terms of dealing with some of the horrors of apartheid, Jews having had the experience of Europe and of the Holocaust. The article didn't mention the word Israel. It spoke about Jew, it spoke about the Holocaust, and it spoke about dealing with some of the atrocities or assisting people in South Africa to come to terms with the horrors of apartheid. And I tell you that, Rolene, the horror of some of the comments showed a level of anti-Semitism, and I deal with this every day, as do you, in the media, but this blew me away because it was so profoundly anti-Semitic. The article didn't mention Israel, but in 1 second, people were saying, well, how dare you offer any assistance here in South Africa when in Israel they are murdering children. That was the kind of a dialogue. And you just looked at this and you thought, I thought this is just anti-Semitism in its rawest form. There's just nothing else to it. And it's absolutely horrific.
It is absolutely horrific. And I think it's very convenient for a lot of them to sit behind their avatars and their social media platforms and spew this vile venom without considering for a second the nuances and the greater picture. And why shouldn't you care? Why shouldn't you offer a solution? You are a South African. And it's really appalling. And this is why I urge everybody to get active against anti-Semitism. I know for many it seems overwhelming. Some of the levels of hatred is just too much to bear sometimes. But guys, we are now, first of all, on the eve of International Holocaust Memorial Day, and if we do remember, the Holocaust and Auschwitz did not start with gas chambers. It started with words, and it started with this kind of propaganda and media. But I urge everybody, give yourself a voice, give your community a voice, and give a voice to those who've never been able to have their voice heard. It is so important.
One of our listeners saying the left is not biased against Israel, but is against some of her policies. Your response to that?
You know what? I think it's fine to argue with some of the policies that Israel has. You know, we're not a perfect country. And even here in Israel, arguing with the government or criticizing the government is actually our national sport. It's what we do best. And it's the beauty of democracy. You know, anybody who saw Mike Pence's speech in the Knesset the other day when he was disrupted said that's the perfect example of democracy, of a thriving, robust democracy. Not everybody here is a Netanyahu supporter. This has been evident in the Hafkanot, in the demonstrations that we've seen against him. Not every Israeli, not every Jew supportive of Israel's policies, but we do have a right to exist, and we do have a right to make decisions on how we choose to govern ourselves and to determine our future. And we do have a right to national self-determination. And anybody who says that we don't, well, that is why we consider you anti-Semites.
Right. So I think the point is that, of course, not everybody on the left is biased against Israel. But I think the issue is that provided the criticism isn't unnaturally focused and weighted against Israel as opposed to every other country in the world. And I think that's one of the issues that we have, number one. And number two is also provided that there is equal criticism and due criticism, or when the criticism is due, on the Palestinian side. You cannot just criticize Israel, because then, unfortunately, exactly, you are anti-Semitic. There's just no other way to put it. Can we just, because we are now running out of time, can we just talk about quickly about the EU lawmakers talking or grilling the Iranian delegates?
Well, yesterday we spoke that there was a visiting group of Iranian parliamentarians to the European Parliament, which is part of the European Union. And Jewish groups, Israeli politicians and others criticized the EU for hosting Alaeddin Bourjedi, who chairs the Committee for Foreign Policy and the National Security of Iran's Parliament. And the reason for this is, first of all, it's Iran's stance on climate change, which they don't like, but also it's because they are Holocaust deniers. And we heard from David McAllister, who is the chair of the European Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee. He opened the session yesterday with a lot of harsh criticism for these Iranian parliamentarians. He said, "I am from Germany. The media reported that the suspects are accused of spying on possible Israeli and or Jewish terror attack targets, including Jewish kindergartens. This would be highly disturbing." Yeah, I think so. I think it would be a little bit disturbing. Others mentioned that and criticized fellow European leaders for failing to publicly confront Iran. David Schwamenthal, who's the director of the AJC, the American Jewish Committee's Transatlantic Institute, said McAllister and several of his colleagues who criticized the regime harshly, especially in their support for terrorism and Holocaust denial, conveyed the message to Tehran that the European Union will not tolerate this kind of criminal behavior. So the Anti-Defamation League has gotten involved, and I think also the timing could not be more atrocious. You know, it just begs the question, how have we not learnt anything in the last 75 years?
Indeed, and on that note, I'm just going to read you Roland's message. He says, "Oh, come on, today's left hate Israel. Today's left are not the same as the hippie scene from 40 years ago." That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. You can catch Rolene Marks tomorrow on Whiskey Thursday around about 5:35. The Israel Report brought to you by the Blue Agency.